desire to go for Hajj or for Umrah, and if they have not as yet been there, the Quranic ayah, وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا. We ask Allah Ta'ala to take each and every one of us to Makkah al-Mukarramah and to Madinah al-Munawwarah. Allahumma rizqna Hajj baytika al-haram wa ziyarati qabri nabiyika alayhim as-salatu was-salam. On that note, we'd also like to welcome Durban's very own Qari Ahmed Lokhead right in front of us, who has just come very recently from Umrah, and we ask Allah Ta'ala to grant him complete shifa. Qarisa was quite ill last year, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given him complete recovery. We come to that part of the program, the main course, not the menu that's going to be much later. Anyway, to the main cause, alhamdulillah, we say that we're very honored that we have with us every personality that's here today. Obviously, our esteemed Qari Sahib from Pakistan, beautiful rendition of the Qur'an Kareem. Also, the chef that recited the beautiful Naat Sharif. And now we have with us a personality who needs no introduction. Perhaps some of us may be seeing him for the very first time, a dynamic presenter, an authentic presenter on Radio Islam International, indeed an asset to Radio International as well as to the Ummah. Alhamdulillah, I take great pleasure in calling upon Fadilu Sheikh Maulana Suleiman Rabat Hafizahullah with his message for today.
Is that possible? The request for the females to maintain silence, if it's possible. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Al-Wahid Al-Ahad, As-Samad Al-Ladhi Lam Yalid Wa Lam Yulad, Wa Sallallahu Wa Sallam Wa Baraka Ala Nabiyyina Muhammad رسوله الأمجد. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, the most powerful word in the English language and the equivalent thereof in every other language is the word love. Every human being has got some love story to tell you. Either it's of a romantic nature between a man and woman, we don't believe in Adam and Steve yet, or it's of a different nature, father and son, mother and daughter, two brothers, two great friends, two colleagues, two acquaintances. The world over has its love stories, stories of phenomenal relationships. I say to humanity at large, show me a parallel that can match the love that Sahaba had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Show me a relationship that can match that of the Ummati with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You won't be able to show me. Even the greatest of sinners, the one with the weakest of iman and faith, take the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a negative way, and then you see the power and the dynamism of his iman and his love. It's a love that never fractures, a love that never weakens, a love that never grows stale or never grows old. Nay, it's a love that is enhanced, that is improved on, and that it is strengthened with every going day in the life of a Muslim. Let me share with you an incident. Recently, somebody gifted me a very beautiful set of kitabs, Khususiyat Mustafa, 4 volumes on the specialities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In there, I read the incident of Safina radiallahu anh, one of the freed slaves of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba were on an expedition when there was a shipwreck and they ended up in the midst of a jungle. And it is mentioned in this book that Safina radiallahu anh got detached from the rest of the group. He was fighting for his life, and now he finds himself in the middle of a jungle. And actually there's fear, there's anxiety, there's worry, there's concern. And whilst in the state of fear, that what, where am I? How am I going to survive? What am I going to do? And how do I get out of here? When he encounters a lion. Now in a state of extreme fear, your logic goes into paralysis. The mind shuts down. So the Sahabi doesn't know what to do. He comes from the Arabian desert. Never have they encountered such an animal, such a beast before. And without realizing, not giving it much thought, the lion now starts to exhibit aggression. And he now starts to manifest intent that I've got my next meal standing in front of me. The Sahabi is paralyzed with fear. The knees are weak. The legs are wobbling. Doesn't know what to say. Logic, paralysis, the mind shuts down. Instinctively, without thinking about it, without realizing, without giving a thought, these words escape from his mouth. He says, "Oh lion, I am the companion of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Instantaneously, the king of the jungle, the beast of the wild, is tamed. Totally tamed. And in this narration, it is mentioned that the beast totally understood the status of this man who was blessed enough to have laid sight on the greatest of Allah's creation, that it actually became the rehber and led him out of the jungle towards the route and the road that he required to be upon. The Quran encapsulates my message for this afternoon. I'm talking about love, I'm talking about relationships. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah says, the relationship between the Muslim and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such that that relationship is greater to the believer than the relationship that the believer has with himself. In Siratul Mustafa, this verse is the commentary of this verse is found there, it's unpacked. And the author mentions, without the Nabi, you don't know Allah. Without the Nabi, you don't know Iman. Without the Nabi, you don't know Quran. Without the Nabi, you don't know Islam. Hence, the Nabi is more important to you than you are to yourself. That's the summary of this verse. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. There are many definitions of love. I'll just share a few with you. And each definition warrants an independent discussion all on its own. But I'll just share it with you with this intention that we will introspect and reflect. We now start to test the level of our own love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The beauty of this love is that it's an ocean that has no shore. You can always improve on it, increase on it, enhance on it, and there'll be no limit to that. Al-mahabbatu maylu al-qalbi ila muwafiqil mahbub. One definition of love that has been given is that when someone is your beloved, then you have affinity with the speech of the beloved. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turn your heart, mesmerize your mind. Al-mahabbatu itharul mahbub. True love means you give preference to the preferences of the beloved. Whatever was preferred by my Nabi is preferred by me. That's the meaning of love. Al-mahabbatu ash-shawqu ila al-mahbub. Muhabbat means to have the longing to meet the beloved. Tarabbarahahu, as Anisab has said. That longing, that no matter how many times I've been to Medina, I wish to visit Medina again. And that longing that on the day of Qiyamah, when I will definitely meet my Nabi, I must meet him in a condition that he is pleased with me. Al-mahabbatu dawamu dhikri lil-mahbub. Muhabbat, true love, is to constantly remember the beloved, constantly be occupied in durood and salutations upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one more definition I'll share with you. Al-mahabbatu ittiba'u al-mahbub. This is the acid test. This is what it boils down to at the end of the day. Lip service is easy. To proclaim verbally our love is the easier part. To back that up with physical compliance to the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's the test of the love. Al-mahabbatu ittiba'u al-mahbub. True love is to follow in the footsteps of the beloved. So every believer has love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart. It is part of iman. If you don't have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your iman is deficient. But look at the benchmark for love. You know, if a youngster wants to become a cricketer, if a Muslim youngster, who's his benchmark? Hashim Amla. If you want to excel in every field, you look at those who have achieved to the highest extent in that particular field. There is none that can show greater love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. There is a narration in Abu Dawood. One Sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, you are more beloved to me than this world and whatever it contains. You are more beloved to me than my parents, my ancestors, my descendants, my siblings, my spouse and my children. There is nothing or no one in existence that is more beloved to me than you. And then he goes on to mention, Ya Rasulullah, you know how beloved you are to me? That when I'm at home with my family, or when I'm in my business, doing my trade, and suddenly a memory of you comes to mind, I become so restless in my love for you that I immediately have to shut my shop or leave my home, and I don't find any sukoon, I don't find any peace until I come to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I lay my eyes on your glorious face. And then he says, but Ya Rasulullah, I have one worry and it's finishing me. It's really got the better of me, it's overwhelming me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, what is your concern? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I consider myself an average Muslim. I don't know what will be my condition on the day of Qiyamah. You are a Nabi, nay Imamul Anbiya. You will be in the highest echelons of Jannah. You will be in Jannatul Firdaus, leading the galaxy of Anbiya. If I can get into Jannah, I consider myself lucky. But it hurts me, Ya Rasulullah, that I am a low person. I'll be, if I make it to Jannah, in the lower ends of Jannah, you will be on the upper hands of Jannah. What will be the use of being in Jannah if I cannot enjoy the companionship of my Nabi? What will be the benefit of me being in Jannah if I cannot set eyes on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And that is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoled him and said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. If you have true love for me, not just a verbal expression of love, but an expression which is proven by the ittiba'un nabi, the following of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will grant you my companionship in Jannah. So we've spoken about a few definitions of muhabbat, a few definitions of love. Let's speak about a few demands of love. You claim you love your child, then you must pay school fees. Right? You claim you love the wife, then you must take her shopping. And you must install the telecom barakati line so she can catch up with her mother. What are the demands of claiming to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I'll make mention of a few. I don't have time to elaborate too much. The ulama have mentioned first up, tawqiruhu wa taqdiruhu alayhi salam. To show honor and reverence to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ. It's an instruction of the Quran to show honor and to show reverence to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallah, it sends shivers down my back when you read the stories of the pious and how they showed reverence to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all know about the four schools of fiqh. Imam Abu Hanifa and the Hanafi, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. There's a story of Imam Malik, who's known as Imam Dar al-Hijra because he was based in Madinatul Munawwara. And he was a great Imam of Hadith and he was also a faqih, he was a jurist. If anybody would come to him and ask him a mas'ala, a ruling, he would give the ruling, if he knew. If anybody came to him and asked him to narrate a hadith, he wouldn't answer. He would stand up, he would leave the gathering, he would go home, he would take a ghusl, he would wear brand new clothing, he would perfume himself with idar, he would wear an imama, he would apply the surma. Then he would return to the gathering and say, only now can I narrate to you the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we stand in front of the rawda and the cell phone goes on with the musical tones. لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ. That's why he's known as Imam Dar al-Hijra. That's why Allah has granted him so much acceptance. The 1300 years down the line, people still follow his madhab, his school of thought, his interpretation of Quran and Sunnah. because such was his regard just before narrating a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all talk about Bukhari. Why is Bukhari so accepted? Because before writing every hadith, he took a ghusl and he performed two rakats of salah, then wrote that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sa'id bin Musayyab rahimahullah is one of the foremost known tabi'in. When Sa'id bin Musayyab rahimahullah was on his deathbed, now the people of those times were very different, you know. Today, if my father is on the deathbed, Abba, where's the uplan? Where did you leave the will? Where's the safe keys? Who must take the house? When scholars were on their deathbed, people would flock to ask them questions, to listen to them narrating hadith, out of this fear that if this man passes away, his knowledge doesn't go with him. What if somebody else in my area doesn't know what he knows? So one man came and he heard that Sa'id bin Musayyab rahimahullah was on his deathbed, and he came rushing and he said, I need to ask you a question. So they allowed him in. And the scholars write, Sa'id bin Musayyab was lying totally flat on the bed. He was in excruciating pain. It was severe illness. And this man said to him, that I have heard, O Sa'id, that you narrate the following hadith from that Sahabi. Can you please narrate it to me? So Sa'id bin Musayyab rahimahullah told his khadims, his helpers, help me to sit up. They told him, it's not possible. The doctors have forbidden this. You are supposed to lie totally flat. If we make you sit up, it is going to exacerbate your illness. It's going to increase your pain. He said, listen, the exacerbation of my illness and the increase of my pain means nothing. I cannot show disrespect to the words of my Nabi by lying down and narrating a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they put Sa'id bin Musayyab rahimahullah sitting up. He narrates this hadith to the man who comes with the thirst of knowledge. The man thanks him, leaves the room. Hardly does he reach the front door of that house that the women folk of the home start to cry out, Sa'id bin Musayyab rahimahullah has passed away. He left this world showing reverence and respect to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day somebody asked Imam Malik rahimahullah that Allah has given you an animal, a conveyance. In those days there were no cars, so the conveyance, the mode of transport was an animal. Why is it in Medina we never see you riding your animal? Outside Medina we see, but in Medina you're always walking. He says, I don't have the courage that the foot of an animal upon whom I am seated must touch the piece of ground where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's feet have touched. Naam unka jahan bhi liya jayega, zikr unka jahan bhi kiya jayega, noor hi noor seenon mein bhar jayega, sare mehfil mein jalwe tipak jayenge. That is what they subscribed to. That is what they believed in. So that first demand of love, showing reverence and honor to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second is ita'at-e-rasool. We think that we show compliance to the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi of Allah is instructed, when the muaddin says hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, you should respond. That is when our love should prove itself. Forget a human being. One day an Arabi, a Bedouin, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, I hear that you're proclaiming that you're a prophet. Now you know a Bedouin is a Bedouin. They're not cultured. They come from the farm areas. They come from the rural areas. They don't know much about manners. So he says, I heard that you're a prophet. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies in the affirmative. He says, okay, if you are a prophet, then show me a miracle. If you are a prophet, show me a miracle. So the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, you see the tree there? Go and tell the tree the Nabi of Allah is calling. It is documented in the books of Ahadith that the tree split the ground and came right before the Nabi of Allah and said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. The man said, I accept Islam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a moment of introspection for us. I want to leave you with something practical, because speeches are many and discourses are found in their multitudes. What do we take from this gathering? Three resolutions I think we need to pass. The one is In order for us to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to do ittiba'i Rasul, we need to know about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know, the basics we all know. But when you love somebody, you want to know every detail of his life. If you open the books of Seerah, just the biographies of the ancestors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take so many pages. Every author who writes on Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam discovers another gem, another jewel, another perspective which sheds light on the difficulties that we face, on the challenges of our times. The seerah never goes stale. And that's why the ulama say, every year we should read one new book of seerah. We met last year, we meet this year. Allah alone knows if we meet next year. But what differences are these talks and these gatherings making to our lives, practically speaking? Every year at least one new book, and now there are many found in the English language. Keep one near your bedside. A few pages every day. Read about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Besides all the other benefits of reading seerah and studying seerah, the noor of seerah will enter your home and enter your heart. The noor of the life of... Need a doctor outside. Sorry? You need a doctor outside. If there's a doctor in the gathering, please go outside. That's the first point that I wanted to emphasize. Moving on to the discussion, we spoke about showing reverence to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and compliance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third is kathratu dhikrillah. The third demand of love is that you remember the beloved excessively. You remember the beloved excessively. And this obviously reminds me of one incident. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. And one day somebody came to him and addressed him in the following way, and they said, As-salamu alayka ya Khalifata Rasulillah. That peace be upon you, O the deputy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started to cry. And they said to him, why are you crying? He said, when you mentioned those words, Rasulillah, it opened the floodgates of memories. And my memories of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took control of me, and that's why I become so emotional. We know the story of Bilal radiallahu anhu. He couldn't bring himself to give the adhan after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because whenever he came to the words, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, he had to visualize, he could no longer look at the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was on his deathbed, then his wife said, wa husnah, oh, what a moment of grief. He said, no, it's a moment of joy, because death is going to take me from this world to where my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. Death is going to bridge that divide. Now I ask you, brothers, how much has durood and salam become part of our daily lives? It is encouraged in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we recite durood minimum 100 times in the morning, minimum 100 times in the evening. That's the second resolution that I would want that we take here this afternoon. The first is to read at least one book of seerah once a year, a new book. The second is to make durood and salutations upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam part of our daily lives. The fifth demand of love is to strive to help those whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved unreservedly. We all know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had what they say in Urdu, be-gharz muhabbat. Love without any ulterior motive. Love without any hope of any kind of benefit or reciprocation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that love for every ummati. That's why he said, Jibreel, inflict upon me the pains of sakarat for every Muslim. Let me bear the pain on their part. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that degree of love for every person, then those who are suffering, physically and spiritually, the demand of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we claim to love, that we claim to have, should drive us to alleviate their physical suffering and their spiritual suffering, because that was the attitude and the approach of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna lillahi khalqan khalaqahum li hawa'ijin nas. There's one hadith that there are those from the creation, Allah has created them such that people flock to them for assistance. And you and I, what will we say? The man came yesterday and today is here again. But Allah says, يَفْزَعُ النَّاسُ إِلَيْهِمْ فِي حَوَائِجِهِمْ. Allah has made you such that people come to you to alleviate their difficulties. It's not to their benefit, it's to your benefit. Why? أُولَٰئِكَ الْأَمِنُونَ مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. If you become a person to whom others flock to for assistance, Allah will protect you from his punishment. This is a hallmark of an ummati, to be ready to assist as many people as we possibly can in terms of their physical difficulties and more so their spiritual difficulties. To contribute physically, monetarily, in any which way towards the spiritual upliftment and the physical upliftment of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and humanity at large. And finally, as I conclude, one more demand of love, كثرة الصلاة والسلام عليه صلى الله عليه وسلم.